We always follow the bulletin, except when I change my mind and decide that I'm reading not from Luke, but from John. John, the 21st chapter, and a similar story about fishing. Now, personally, I'm not into fishing. When I was first married, my husband tried to take me fishing. It soon became apparent to him that it would be a lot more work for him to take me fishing with him than if he went by himself, because there was no way I was touching a worm. We soon came to an agreement that I would go with him, but I would sunbathe while he fished. That was pretty disastrous, too. One fishing trip, he was standing on Lake Erie fishing, and I was laying on rocks nearby. And I fell asleep. Yeah, you think you know what happened. You don't. Wait for it. I woke to him whispering to me, "Peg, don't move. Peg, don't move. There's a snake crawling across your neck." Now, what would you do? I jumped up, of course. The snake wanted to sun, just like I did. It was, you know, some little garter snake or something, but suffice it to say, I didn't go fishing again. But there is one fishing story told in a couple of different places in the Bible. Actually, probably there were two different events when pretty much the same thing happened. One in the book of Luke and one in the book of John. And there's something very special about the one in the John, so I'm reading from John 21, which is about a fishing story that I'm very fond of this story. This was after Jesus' death and resurrection, and is one of the appearances of Jesus to the disciples after he was resurrected from the dead. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told other disciples, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Anybody here ever fished all night long? And would you stay in the boat if you were catching nothing all night long? Must have been a long night for them. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the word of God for us today. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Almighty God, give us ears to hear your word for us today and lips that speak your truth and hearts to love one another in Jesus' name. Amen. There are a couple of things in this story that distract me from the main point that I want to make, so I'm just going to get those distractions out of the way first. The first one is that this is the only place I know of, and Ricky will do some research and find out whether I'm right, because he does that. It's the only place I know of where Jesus actually addresses disciples as friends. And I know it's the only place where he cooks for them. And that's kind of distracting. Why did he call them friends here? I think it's meant to establish that this is an intimate moment for them. I know when I cook for people, I pour love into it. When I'm in too much of a hurry, it doesn't taste as good because there's not as much love in it. And so this is to set us up for this being a different dimension to the relationship that already existed for them. Friend. In some translations, it actually has him calling them children. As though when he was resurrected and joined again with the Father, now they weren't just his friends, but his children, the way they were children of God the Father. Still another dimension to that relationship. Well, as I said, this kind of is a distraction, and I don't want to go any further with that. The second distraction for me is that every time I hear this story where Jesus cooks for the disciples, such an intimate thing for him to do for them, such a servant thing, this actually, God wanting to feed us, this actually moves me to tears even more than when Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And I went to Israel and I stood on the shore of the Sea of Galilee next to what they say is the stone that Jesus cooked on, because along the seashore, that's what you did. You build a fire under a stone and just slap the fish on the stone. People are going back to that cooking method now, right? Scouts actually do it. When they don't have to lug pots and pans around because they just have a nice hot stone. And people are buying pizza stones. But long before there were pizza stones, Jesus was cooking on a stone. And I stood next to that stone and I started crying. I know that our confirmation class is always grateful when Nan cooks for the youth group. When anybody cooks for them, actually. It means they don't have to eat pizza again. But having somebody cook a meal for you is pretty special. It's like being invited into the family. So that's kind of another distraction in this story. The main point of the story is that the disciples were failing at something. They were failing at fishing. They'd been out all night. And they were discouraged. because I teach confirmation, I know personal things about the confirmation class. And usually if I'm going to use one of them as an illustration, I tell them ahead of time. But Leah, I didn't tell you ahead of time. You really struggled with algebra, didn't you?
I hated it.
You hated it.
It's horrible and poisonous.
Algebra's poisonous. Leah's not the only one. Anybody else hate algebra? Yeah, a lot of hands going up. There are things you failed at in your lifetime, aren't there? So you know what it was like for the disciples? They fished all night. They were hungry. It wasn't just that, you know, this was a cash crop they were going to sell. They were hungry. They needed something to eat. And their hunger grew overnight. Jesus had disappeared. They didn't know where he was. It was dark. There were just a few of them out there, and nothing was working right at all. And this unknown person called from the edge of the Sea of Galilee, called from the shore and said, "Friends," they didn't know who it was. "Children, do you have any fish?" Okay, so you've been out all night fishing. Didn't catch anything. What happens when people go fishing and come home? And somebody asks, "Did you catch anything?" Bob's going, "Yeah, it was this big and it got away." Would you actually call out to a stranger and say, "We've been out here all night and we caught nothing"? Not a thing. No, the first temptation would be to say, "Well, yeah, we got nothing, but you should see the ones that got away." But they were honest with this stranger and said, "No, we haven't caught a thing." Algebra's hard. I haven't figured out how to do any little bit of it. Confession's good for the soul. Even when the problem that you're confessing isn't really your own fault, just a persistent problem. And Jesus said a strange thing to them. Now, there was a convention that everybody fished from the same side of their boats. That way, they could line up boats and nets wouldn't get entangled with one another. So you always fished from the correct side of the boat. And you fished, you know, most people are supposed to be right-handed, using your dominant hand to cast the net. It was more awkward this way. So they fished from the left side of the boats. Always fished from the left side of the boats. It didn't matter whether you fished from the left or the right. What mattered was whether you were over the pool of fish, right? And Jesus said, "Cast your nets on right side of the boat." Huh? That's against what they were supposed to do. Everybody's supposed to go to the left, not the right. But they did it. And he was a stranger telling them to do this thing that they weren't supposed to do. That doesn't make sense. But they did it anyway. And the nets were full, but didn't break. Very strange. How many of you are going fishing for your lunch today and have to catch something or starve? I'm not. But I can identify with the story because there are times that I have tried and tried and tried to do this to something and failed at it, like algebra. Actually, I loved algebra. It was plain geometry that defeated me. Anybody with me? Yeah. Sometimes what seems to be defeating us is a project that just isn't coming together. There are quilters in this church. I bet there are times, at least I can imagine, I've never quilted, but I can imagine putting this little piece together sometimes just doesn't line up. Does that ever happen? Yeah. Sometimes relationships are like that. I spoke with someone this week. I was doing counseling with somebody who, this is a guy in his 40s. Parents are gone. His wife's parents are gone. His only living relative is his sister, and he doesn't get along with her. Anybody have relationship problems? Don't put up your hands. Sometimes you've tried and tried and tried with a relationship to make it spark, and nothing's happening. How about your prayer life? Anybody here prayed for something over and over and over again, and nothing happens? Yeah? Jesus' message was simple. Throw the net on the other side. He didn't say, give up and go home. He didn't say, I'll miraculously produce fish for you right here on the shore. Just come on in and eat. He told him to be persistent, to keep working at it. But he said, try something new. Try something different. It is guaranteed that if you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results, you're going to fail. The method has to change. Same nets, same boat, same people, throw them on the other side. Often, whether it's algebra, a project, a relationship, or your prayer life, all you need to do is try a different way to do the same task. Throw the net on the other side. And you'll get a harvest. Now, me, I'm just not smart enough to figure out what the other side is sometimes. I have to pray about it. Lord, this just isn't working. Whatever the this is, it's just not working. I need a different way to tackle the same thing. Show me the way. Give me the wisdom. Help me to see, where you want me to go. And that prayer has never failed me yet. I've failed to listen sometimes. But God always provides the answer. Let's pray. Lord, you alone are perfect. Sometimes we work and work and work at something and just can't seem to make it work. So we ask, show us a way where there seems to be no way. Show us the other side of the boat, the side that brings in a harvest of fish. Show us the way to success in our projects, our relationship with you, our prayer life. And even in algebra. For we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.